Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is August 22nd, 2021. You have tuned in to Words Make People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, and we'll be right back after our opening theme song. And when we come back, we will do our Quranic reading. We'll be right back. Welcome to Words Make People. Again, I'm your host, Michael Sahir, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm going to be joined by my co-host on the West Coast. I don't see his number. I think I see his number. My co-host on the West Coast, email, I'm in Abdul Mujib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Okay.
Okay, you must be on speakerphone, the Bluetooth. You like you sound kind of faint. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, come on in.
Yes, okay, yeah. So thank you for joining us as you always do. We're looking forward to a very exciting, thorough discussion on our topic today, a long overdue discussion, but we're going to do the Quran reading first. But we want to tell everybody who's on, call a friend. Yeah, I don't think you want to miss this conversation today. Our main topic is going to be on dangerous lyrics or killing the African-American community. And that is so true. Again, it's titled, our main talk is, it's titled, Dangerous Lyrics or Killing the African American Community. But let's follow our procedure. We always go with the Quran first. This show is titled Words Make People from my beloved leader. And email that D. Muhammad gave us that phrase. You know, it's getting close to 50 years ago that he gave us that phrase. And it's still pulsating within our minds, within our lives, because words will all has always and will always make people. So, but the best words, the most complete, thorough words for making human beings are the words of revelation given to the prophets. And the completed form of those words were given to Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, over 1,400 years ago. So to make this show the best, we want to begin with the best, and that is the Quran. We're going to read, we had two readings today. I'm going to say the second reading that email I may recommend. He said a sister recommended it. We're going to say that for later on in the program. That's chapter 4, verse 75. And the reason for saving that is because that is a solution, an answer. I think before we go with the solution, I think we need to deal with the problem. So we're going to first want to read from chapter 17, verse 7. Give everyone a chance to find it for those who want to follow along with us. Chapter, verse 7, 17 and 7. That's what we're going to go with first. And before reading the Quran, we always see God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. And Brother Imam, I mean, that's one of the things that really grabbed my attention when I first became Muslim. That you just can't read God's word because you know it. You got to read it only after calling on God's protection from Satan. You know, that was new when I became Muslim. From my previous religious background, I didn't have that. But when I heard that in Islam, I said, that's powerful. And so we say in the Arabic, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, I seek refuge, or some say protection, with Allah, mene shaitan, away from the shaitan. Shaitan is Arabic for Satan. Shaitan is Arabic, Satan's English. But before reading the Quran, you say, A'udhu billahi mene shaitan rajim. And that's followed with another phrase we say before reading the Quran, unless it's chapter 9, we don't say this. But all other readings before reading the Quran, we say next, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we are ready to read. We are ready to read from the Quran. And just a little side note, in case there are non-Muslims listening, if we have we say those two sayings if we have the actual book in our hand or not. But if we have the actual hard copy book in our hand, then Muslims, we are taught to make sure our hands are clean. We just don't pick up the Quran with dirty hands. We don't do that. But let's go with the reading here. I begin with the Yusuf Ali translation. And it reads, if you did well, you did well for yourselves, right? It says, "Inna as-satun, as-satun li-anfusikum." If you did good, you did good for yourselves. He says, "If you did evil, wa-in as-satun." If you did evil, you did it against yourselves. This is important for us to begin our conversation, Brother Mel Ayman. If you did good, then you did good for yourself. If you did evil, you did it against yourself. So this is what I'm understanding from this, Brother Mel Ayman, is that Allah has given us free will. He's given us the opportunity to do what's right on our own. He's given us free will. He goes on to read,
yes.
So when the second of the warnings come to pass. Now, Muhammad Asad says it different. He says, and so when the prediction of the second period of your iniquity came true, Yeah, I like that better. Though he has iniquity in parentheses, in brackets, it goes back to the beginning. It says, if you do good, you did good for yourselves. If you did evil, you did it against yourselves. So the accountability is established right there. The free will is established there. So that when the second warning came to pass, or the second destruction came to pass, then it's really hinged on what we did or did not do. Did we do good for ourselves, or did we do evil? But I may like to hear some of your thoughts, please.
Yeah, just on the first few words, you know, I want to be like him in the Shaitan Rajim, and hey, yeah, if you did good, you know, you know, for yourself, then you did well, you know, for your own soul, you know, and that's very true. You know, everything we do affects the soul. Everything we do affects the soul. And that's one reason
mm-hmm.
I love the title of the program, Words Make People. And I want to do extra duos for our sister who sung that song, Brother Mustafa's daughter who passed away, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
She really brought it out, man, you know, in that song. I like the way she sung it. What's her name?
Khadija,
yeah. May Allah forgive her sins mm-hmm. and grant her the high place in paradise. You know,
amen.
This is so true because bad words produce bad behavior, bad actions. Good
mm-hmm.
words, if accepted right and understood correctly, produce good behavior and good works. Yes. So
mm-hmm.
it's really about the influences that come into your life. Amen. Muhammad told us years ago
mm-hmm.
that we're creatures
mm-hmm.
of influence, creatures of influence, you know. So we just want to be real careful and cautious about what type of influences we allow to come into our life so we can have the best life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. You know, and I think I'll point in the Quran, it says, yeah, I found it right here. This is chapter 14:24. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahim, see you not how Allah sets forth a parable? A goodly word like a goodly tree, whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens of its Lord. So Allah sets forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. So again, a good word, a good deed, a good actions. So going back
yes.
to our reading, our chapter, we're reading four, chapter 17 and 4. When the person, when the evil done by the people came back against them, it says it was like a second time this had happened. It says here in the Yusuf Ali, he says, we permitted your enemies to disfigure your faces to your, now he has temple, but in the Arabic it doesn't say temple. It says al-masjid, a masjid.
Huh?
Masjid, yeah. Now, and Muhammad Asar says temple also, but in the
yeah.
Arabic it says masjid.
Master.
Your place
yes.
of prostration. Now, you know, this is a little side note, but I think it ties in. About a month ago, I'm going to this restaurant, and there's some guys sitting outside, like about 7 or 8 of them. I'm walking toward, and they were sitting right by the door, right, when you go into this fish house. And walking up to them, I wonder, are they Hispanic or are they Muslim? When I get close to them, they all speak in Arabic. But now, one guy caught me staring at them. And when I walked in, he said, Assalamu alaikum. Do I know him? You know, so I went inside. When I came back out, he spoke again. I said, where do I know you from? And he said, No, he said he didn't know me, but then he pointed to his forehead. He said, but I see your sejud on your forehead. How you get that mark on your forehead?
Yeah.
For making salat. He said,
yes,
I know you were Muslim by your sejud, but he called it a sejud.
Mm-hmm.
He called it
okay.
a sejud. Sejud. And I'm like, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And when I think about, go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so when I think about that, I said, okay. That now I looked it up on, they had a different name. I looked up the mark on forehead online, Zabidi or something like that. But this brother here, he didn't call that name. He said, I saw you as a Jew, so I knew you were Muslim. So he said, Assalamu alaikum to me. And so we read in this verse here, the temple, yeah, that's part of the head, but the sujood, the prostration, is the placing of the head in prayer. But if we, as a people, as an individual or as a people, if we neglect the place of prostration, our head, then the evil deeds that we do will allow the enemies to come in. And as it says here in this ayat, it says, they disfigure your faces and to enter your masjid as they enter it before and to visit with destruction all that fell into their power. Now, I know the first instance you're going to think of a temple or masjid of a brick or wood building with carpet inside. But it's not referring to that. It's referring to your prostration, your submission, or your lack thereof. And as an individual or as a people, we have to be very mindful. Did we do good for ourselves, or did we do evil against ourselves? And when we do evil against ourselves, compounded by being weak in a situation, then we leave the door open for the evil ones to come in and to wreck our lives and to wreck our lives. But Imam Ayman, dear listeners, those who you may remember when Imam Muhammad told us, it was, I think it's a Ramadan session, he said it more than once. He said that there are seven gates to heaven and seven gates to hell. Do you remember
that? Yes, I remember. I was there when he said it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And he counted those seven. He counted the eyes opening, the left eye and right
two.
Eye.
Yep.
Okay. That's two. Okay. Mm-hmm. Left nostril. No, see. Yeah. What's one, two, three, four? Yeah. Left nostril, right nostril. That's four.
Yeah.
Right ear,
two
left ear.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
In the mouth.
In the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He said those are your seven doorways to heaven. And he said, and there is an angel on guard at each of those entries. But if we neglect those seven and do wrong, those same openings that were for a doorway to heaven will change and become doorways to hell.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Now, that's
good,
the head. And the head, the head is the only part of the body that got all five senses. The rest of the body got one sense. Feeling.
Yep. That's it.
The head got all five senses, right? Taste, hearing, smelling, feeling. I'm leaving one out.
Seeing.
Yeah, seeing. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, got all five. But that's the five that we put on the prayer rug when we say Subhana Rabbil A'la, right? Glory be to my Lord the Exalted three times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sajda.
But if we do wrong, in Sajda, thank you. Yeah, that's the key word, in Sajda. So if we do good, Allah says, if you did good, right? In Asatu, Asatu le and so sikun. If you did good, you did good for yourself.
Yeah.
But if you did evil,
yep.
Why in asatu, if you did evil, yeah, well, then you did evil against yourself. So
yes.
It seems to me, Brother Yemet Maimon, you tell me what you're hearing. It seems to me that
sure.
Before the enemy was able to come in and to disfigure, we had already done wrong to ourselves.
Yes.
Or upon ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we came in with that concept or idea, or actually came from a song when it said, "It's your thing. Do what you want to do."
What you want.
I can't tell you who to talk
yeah.
it to. Yeah. As soon as I tell you, when that song
yeah.
came out, I mean, it changed the whole thinking. Oh, I can do what I want to do. It's my
yeah.
thing, you know. And we didn't even know
yeah.
we was doing Satan's
uh-huh.
thing.
That's right. That's right.
But the part, let me want to do a quick comment on disfiguring the face. You know, the word for face is waj. Waj. You know, that's the word that's
yeah.
used there, waj. And we know the word waj
yeah.
also means your personality. It means the direction that you're going in. And when we stop remembering God, when we stop remembering God Almighty and stop submitting to God and worshiping God and submitting and bowing down to Almighty God and making sajda to God, you know, bowing down, giving God all the credit, then the Satan comes in, allows the Satan, the partner, Shaitan, to be the partner of the people and disfigures their personality, disfigures their direction, disfigures their faith, what purpose, the whole purpose in life has been disfigured because of these bad influences that are coming through, you know, dangerous lyrics, the topic today, and also just bad influences, period, from the world, yes, that came through those seven doors. That's what we're talking about, and that defigured the face, defigured your direction, the way Allah wanted you to go. So yes, I mean it's all connected
yes,
there. It's all connected. Yeah.
But well, as she was speaking, what crossed my mind was that when we making ablution, making wudu, we wash the face three times. And,
yes.
I recall one in context, which is a connection to what you just have already said. The face is a reflection of the soul. Going on in the soul, if the soul is disturbed, it's going to show on the face. If the soul is happy, it's going to show on the face. Even those that can show for a while a fake face trying to not to show what's really going on the inside, you just look away for a while and give them a chance and look back at them real quick, you see them. You see what's really going on. And if I may borrow from one of our songs from back in the day, from Earth, Wind, and Fire, they say, and it's funny that the way you feel shows on your face. You know, so the face is a reflection of what's going on inside the soul. And in particular, the eyes. Yeah, the eyes. And the eyes is like a real deep look into someone's soul. That's why sometimes when a person is guilty or something, they can't look you in the face. They drop their head down because of their face. And so if we have lived a good life and a righteous life, it will shine in our face. If we live in an evil life or a wicked life, it's going to dull our face. And even one can say, well, that's an easy target right there. That's an easy target. Look at that ghetto over there. See, if a neighborhood is a ghetto, I'm talking about the physical neighborhood. If it's a ghetto, raggedy houses or whatever, or unkempt trash and all that, someone from the outside said, well, that's easy pickings. I can go in there and misuse them how I want to. So a hungry dealer. A hungry dealer comes out to me. I'm sure there's much more than we can say. But we do want to always have our Quran reading whenever we have our program. Because if you can't begin with the word for God, then we all miss him. So.
That's right.
Okay. So after reading the Quran, we say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah has spoken a mighty truth. Allah has spoken a powerful truth. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let's get into our conversation today. You want to, we have a group. I'm going to let you begin, Brother Emil Eichmann, because you're part of this group called Like-Minded People for Social Justice. I know there's more to the name. But why don't you go ahead and introduce the concept and the members of the panel. And for those who are going to be on the show, we have Emil Yahya Shabazz. If he's on, he can press 1 on his phone. And we have an email, Muhammad Abdulmalik. If he is on, he can press 1 on his phone.
Yes.
And we have Sister Emetula Alanji Sabri. She has already pressed 1 on her phone. So she's already in there. If she can go ahead and I just follow your lead, Brother Emil.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, Imam Mikhail, for having us on Words Make People this morning. And we pray to Allah that we have a very productive and successful program. And then basically, we're talking about this because we have a Zoom meeting talk next week that's open to everyone. We'll talk about that as we go. And we want to kind of promote it. And thank you for allowing us for the opportunity to promote what we're trying to do, especially for next week, part 2 of what we're doing. First of all, I'd like to say that the name of our organization is Like-Minded People for Social Justice and the Recognition of One Humanity. Yeah, Like-Minded People for Social Justice and the Recognition of One Humanity. And we have several members with us. I'm not going to mention everyone, but I will mention who's on the program with us today to do the talking. We have, again, like you said, Imam Yahya Shabazz from the Bay Area up north. We have Imam Muhammad Abdulmalik from Las Vegas area. And we have Sister Matala from the Oakland Bay Area also. And, all three of these people are very helpful and influential with our group. Sister Matala, she's a very wonderful person, and I'm going to allow her to kind of introduce who we are again and what we're about and what we're trying to achieve. So at this time, I would like to open it up for Sister Matala to comment on that.
Thank you, Imam Eichmann. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Mikhail.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Like-minded people for social justice and recognition of one humanity. Initially, our group came together after the George Floyd incident. There was a lot of movement worldwide in terms of social justice and quite a bit of talk about white supremacy. Members who joined our group, we felt that the root cause of this white supremacy being so prevalent and so boldly expressed in the worldwide community was because of the lifting up of a racial image of the Creator and calling that the Creator. So we were revisiting the message of concern that Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest reward in paradise and forgive him his sins, introduce us to the message of concern, where he asks us the question of what would be the result of an African-American child sitting in a church looking up to the European image on the cross. What would that do to that child's psyche? And so we felt that the root of this white supremacy was the result of these racial images and other idols that we see in religious community among people of faith. So we came together and said we want to address that issue, number one, and then other social justice issues. And we looked at the rising toll of violence in the community, and we looked at what are some of the causes. Sister Tawhida Williams Wren and Imam Muhammad Abdulmalik and Imam Yahya, they formed a subcommittee from our group, and they did research in this area of the negative effects of the entertainment industry, music and the general entertainment industry. This is where we came up with the Dangerous Lyrics. So the mission for our group is to work for the recognition of our freedom from God. The only element that is common to us all is our humanity. So we want to get people back to our humanity. Racism is a learned behavior, and it's more apparent in today's society than ever before. And to rid the society of its stain, we must address it at its origin. And this is where our emphasis is on the message of concern. So we want to bring people back to the reality, especially people of faith, that the example of an image of a European on the cross that portrays God or the Son of God is not only against the commands of God, but its psychological effects are the root cause of the racial strife that we see in the society today. It allows some of us to view themselves as closer to God through skin color and others farther from God through skin color. We believe that as society members, we need to come away from racial and all images that attempt to portray the divine and caste-based value systems describing human beings. We believe that God gave us our differences as an attraction to draw us closer to each other so that by knowing our differences, we would recognize our sameness. So that's basically what like-minded people for social justice and the recognition of one humanity, that's basically our mission statement. And inform the vision that we have for the society and for our work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay, yeah, thank you. That's needed. Yeah, I find it interesting, which is quite accurate, to begin with one of the biggest causes of shortcomings for mankind is false worship, and to have those images presented before anybody. But even worse, to have it presented before the children of black slaves who were under the oppression of that same image in the image of white people, and then to say this is God, is really, really devastating, and will be a feed of the cause of a lot of illnesses and shortcomings in our society. Email Hyman?
Yes.
You want to introduce anybody else?
We have Imam Yahya Shabazz on the line with us. Did he push one yet to get in the queue?
Imam no, but Yahya, I think I see his number. Hold on. I think I see it. Oh, there you go. There you go. Yes, yeah. So he should be in now.
Yeah, Imam Yahya. Ma'am, how you doing?
Well, it's my son. Yeah, Imam Mikhail, he's talking to you, I think.
I'm doing real well. Long time no talk to you, my brother. How's everything been with you lately?
Everything's coming on good. Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. You know, life is good. Yes, life is fair. Ups and downs, but life is fair.
Yeah.
So we have Yahya Shabazz with us on the line, and we can let him, you know, he can go ahead and make a few comments if he'd like to make something connected to what we're talking about, dangerous lyrics affecting the African-American black community.
Well, just briefly, I wanted to say that we see dangerous lyrics in the entertainment community, in the entertainment business industry, targeted primarily at the African American community. Anywhere you drive in the African American community, you will see, and if you listen to the radio, that claim to represent or that claim to serve the African-American community, although we know that everybody listens to it now, but traditionally they, you know, we listen to it because they claim to represent our community, you know, and we see the same thing nationwide. I travel from California, Chicago, New York, Mississippi, wherever I go, I see the same influences, and I see it targeted toward the African-American community. And these lyrics, in my humble opinion, have taken the place of the lynching rules. They've taken the place of slavery during the plantation days, because whereas and it's even a worse situation, because whereas before we tried to get away from physical bondage, now we see most of us, or too many of us, I should say, trying to get into the entertainment world, whether it's in the sports arena or the acting or the music situation, and because we see it as lucrative, we see it as business moves and so forth. And but since we don't control it, we are under the influence of those who do control it. And the ones who control it see it as a profit-making venture. This is why the concern for the well-being of the black community, who they say these radio stations serve, is of no concern. Their primary concern is profit-motivated. And so the dangerous lyrics that come out of the of what many of our brothers and sisters produce do great harm to the minds of our young people. It causes disrespect for our families. It causes disrespect for our women. Is one of the primary influences that breaks up the black family. And we know that if you don't have a strong family structure, then you have a weak community. So I stop right there. But that's one of the we just wanted to introduce the fact that these dangerous lyrics more harmful than physical slavery, and they serve the purpose to continue to break down and disintegrate the black community as a people.
Yes, sir. You mean Miami? Who here next?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, you very well said. Like we said, you know, we're creatures of influence. You said we're creatures of influence, you know. So these lyrics are influencing our people and influencing the world, humanity, everybody, you know. I mean, hip-hop has been reported all over the world, you know, to get people to think in those terms and to bring the whole humanity down with this. So, yes, this is a very serious issue. I'm glad we're bringing attention to it even more, you know, and, you know, it needs to be really broadcast and put out there that, we gotta stop and think for a moment. What is this doing to our thinking? What is this doing to our community? We have our young people who are calling the women bees. You know, that B word is almost common now. See, they're trying to make the language common. And it reminds me of the Bible statement in the Bible, on the Tower of Babel, you know, where it says, let me go down into the earth and confuse their language. Let us go down into the earth and confuse their language. And we know people are controlled through language. People are controlled through language. You know, so if they can come up with the language that they want to come in this music and these songs and get people to think in a certain way, then they have a grip on the society. So we have to bring attention to this.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Can I say something, Imam? If we go back to read from the way Allah talks about a good word. And that's what we're essentially looking at, these dangerous lyrics. They're words. They're words that are put to a beat, in the instance of rap, hip-hop, or even R&B, or even country. You see, some of the country music has some crazy lyrics or dangerous lyrics also. If we look back on that verse that you read, which was in Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, verse 24,
Do you not see how compares a good word to a good tree? And we know also that many times in scripture, a tree is talking about culture. And so we're talking about what has actually happened to our culture in the African-American community. There are some good aspects of hip-hop and rap in terms, you know, there are some artists who are out there who have messages that build the community up, and we celebrate them. We want them to get more of the attention and focus because we feel that that would be the good word that's going to produce and enhance the culture that is going to build up the morals, the faith base of the people in our community. It's the artists that engage in the derogatory language that glorifies thugism as far as violence, talking about the guns and killing and gang activity, and like Imam Iman said, you know, using degrading language to describe women, using degrading language, talking about the pimp lifestyle, which today very much is focused on human trafficking. And in Oakland, Oakland has one of the largest human trafficking rings in the United States going on.
Hello. Do we lose?
The young people who influenced by
Miguel?
I think I'm still connected. Can you still hear me, Imam Mikhail?
Okay.
Can you still hear me, Imam?
We lost two calls. Imam Yaya, are you still there?
Can you hear me, Imam Mikhail?
Hello?
Can
anybody hear me again?
Hello?
Okay, he's dropping off for some reason.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Imam Mikhail? Imam Mikhail, can you hear me?
Testing, 1, 2. Oh, man. What's going on here?
Okay, I just got a text that they gave me, so I'll continue. Allah or God says in the Quran that good tree, its root is firm and its branches reach the sky. So the people are elevated in the society when you have those good words. Those good lyrics elevate our community. Always yielding its fruit in every season by the will of its Lord. This is how God sets forth parables for the people, so perhaps they will be mindful. And the parable of an evil word is that of an evil tree.
Hello?
Uprooted earth having no stability. And this is what we see a lot of our community life, the lack of stability, the rise in violence, the... So this is what our movement is bringing that to an end and encouraging the good. I don't know. Maybe we should text Brother Imam
Mikhail. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Amatala?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Mikhail is cut out. Imam Mikhail, can we hear you?
We can. I can hear him, but he can't hear us.
Maybe he can't hear us. Yes. Okay. Yes. But what you said, let's keep moving since we can hear each other. He'll get it together on his end, inshallah. Imam Yahya Shabazz, can you hear us? Yahya Shabazz, can you hear us? Oh, he's cut off too. Yes. I love...
It's the Ayman and the Amatala show. Muhammad, are you there?
That's what it's going to be right now, inshallah.
I'm here.
But I love that ayat about the goodly tree and the goodly word. And you, Imam Mikhail quoted it, and you just really, that's what we're dealing with right there.
That's
because the bad tree is said, yes. Hello, can you hear us? The bad tree, it says, is torn up by the roots. You know, it doesn't have a solid foundation. And that's what, exactly what these bad lyrics are doing to our community. It's tearing it up by the roots. And we don't have a good foundation anymore, you know, because they've really left out the Creator. You know, they've left out good morals and everything. And just appealing to the low base of the people, low life of the people. So this is something that's really, really something. Brother Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik, did you want to say anything?
Yes. Can you hear me, Brother Imam?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. What happened?
We don't know what happened, man. The Shaitan just cut us off. We don't know.
Yeah, well, the
you couldn't hear us. We could hear you talking, but you couldn't hear us.
Yes, yes, sir. Brother Imam Mikhail, we still hear you. We got you loud and clear now. This is Muhammad Abdul Malik from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, sir.
I hung up and called back in. That's why I'll be able to, okay. Well, go ahead. I hung up and called back in twice.
I hung up and called back in twice.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. This technology, remember, we don't control this technology. We just got to make sure we stay ahead of the game a little bit. But at any rate, once again, Brother Imam Mikhail and the other respected imams and sisters on the call and guests, it's an honor for us to be here and really, you know, dealing with, you know, words make people. It coincides exactly with what we're talking about, the topic of next week's call, which is dangerous lyrics are destroying our community. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that everyone on the call, you know, had an opportunity to be privy to the information next Saturday on August 28th from 11 to 1 p.m. There will be a Zoom meeting. It's a community call. It's not a Muslim call. It's a community call. It means everyone is invited because everyone is a part of the community. So that Zoom meeting ID is going to be 346-388-7144. Once again, 346-388-7144. And the passcode to that is going to be 529-228. Once again, the passcode is 529-228. So anyway, I hope you can still hear me. Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Absolutely. But you know, we wanted just to make our presence known that we are conscious and we are not laying down on what the, you know, imam gifted us with by Allah's permission, his language, his logic, and us establishing a sound community life, you know. And it all starts with what we take in to our mouths, what we take into our ears, which enters our minds and also enters our hearts. So it's not just what we eat, you know, can turn us into, you know, Shaitan's imps. It's also what we listen to. And if we look at what's going on in the media today, for example, not to beat our young brother up, may Allah guide him back, you know, to the truth. We got an entertainer by the name of Lil Nas X who has come onto the scene, and they so strategically introduced him as a country western star with a hip-hop song, trap song, Old Town Road. And he had phenomenal success. Come to find out, they were introducing at the same time the concepts of homosexuality, negative vibrations. And if you watch one of these videos, it's so horrific. It's actually a, how do I say it? It's devil worship right there on the video. So this is all by design. And we know, those of us who are students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayh, we know what to look for. So we just wanted to galvanize our efforts, come and support this platform, Imam Mikhail, you know, words make people, and they sure do. And we just wanted to let you know that we lend our support, and it is a definite honor to be here. But I want some of us who are not privy to be abreast on the knowledge base of how this entertainment hip-hop thing goes. It's all by design. There's no accidents. They're controlling the everything that comes out. So this is by design. It's no coincidence or no accidents that the hip-hop lyrics or what have. It was set up that way. They gave us, in the very beginning with, you know, Public Enemy, they gave us a feel that we were controlling our destinies, but they were actually taking control while we were doing so. So if you look at all of the contracts that are on the books, you don't write your own music and say what you want to say. You write and you produce and you promote what's selling, the bottom line, which is the money, which is decadent. So anyway, don't want to be too long-winded on that. I just wanted to give a brief, but we are very concerned about the agenda of the dangerous lyrics that are destroying and plaguing our communities. So we're on the front line here at Like-Minded People for Social Justice. I thank you for the time that you allowed me to be on the call.
Well, let me ask a question. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you. The title of the show, Dangerous Lyrics Are Killing the African-American Community, or some say Black Community. How are these dangerous lyrics killing? You know, killing is a bold word. How are these lyrics killing our community?
Well, if I could just chime in for a minute, I would ask our listening audience, if you go to your state public health department, I'm sure they will have studies on the effect and the proliferation of alcoholism in the African American community, the effect and the direct marketing of the tobacco industry on the African community, and also upon the youth from about 13 to 21, 22 with the vaping. And if you go to your state public health department website, they will also have studies and research that has been done to show the increase in gun violence, abuse, sexual abuse, domestic violence, and how it has ravaged the African-American community. Now, this is what the scientists and the sociologists in our society, what they have studied and looked at. And many of it will trace directly back to the lyrics in the song. Some of them so filthy, I don't even want to on the air. You can be in your, you could be pumping gas in your gas station, and I'm sure many of us, if not all of us on this call, you have a car that you hear coming maybe two blocks away, and it gets louder and louder till they pull into your gas station, and they don't care if you have your children in your car. They'll have lyrics talking about every kind of sexual act that you can think of, talking about, like Muhammad said earlier, bring out the Hennessy, bring out the Crown Royal, bring out the champagne. They'll talk about smoking the blunt. You know, Snoop Dogg was on Red Table Talk fairly recently, and I listened to him. He is a very intelligent person. He has admitted that he doesn't let his grandchildren listen to his sons. Think about how much he promoted weed, and very openly, and now look at... you know, in my town, they talked about weed being the gateway drug to other drugs. Now you have ecstasy. You have people in our community dying off of fentanyl. Lil Wayne and the cough drop concoction that he used to promote. That's why we say the lyrics in the negative songs, negative raps, they are actually physically killing people in our community. And there's data, there's statistics. You can think about people that you may know in your own family who have fallen victim, because remember,
right,
these people are put up as idols. Oh, he's my rap idol. Oh, he's my movie idol. These people are idols. What is an idol? An idol is something that you worship other than the creator. And it's no, like Muhammad said, it's by design that those words are used, because if you think of an idol, it's going to translate into, oh, I got to worship this. I have to listen to this. And so
yes,
the fact that Kanye or Diddy may have a $6 million contract for endorsing Blue Goose or whatever else they endorse, that doesn't help our community. It helps that individual, but it doesn't help our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing us.
Let me just say along the way, these shows are archived, and they're recorded and archived, and within 10 minutes of when the show, within 10 minutes, the archives are available for review. And for the group here, this team of like-minded people, you have my permission to use this. You can download it and use it however that you wish. Go ahead, Brother Imam.
I was just going to say that the very name hip hop is during Easter time we all use the bunny rabbit, and we know bunny rabbits and don't lay eggs, you know what I'm saying? So we use the name hip hop, and what we don't think about, we don't even question, is why do they call it hip hop? It's called hip hop because it's associated with a highly fertile mammal. And as we discussed earlier in this program, hip hop appeals to our sexual desires. And there used to be a saying that floated around, we got babies raising babies. This is why you have so many of our young sisters come up pregnant without a husband, without a family tie, because the kind of influence that this music have on the mind of our young men is that they only see our women as sexual objects. This is why you have so much misogynistic lyrics in the hip-hop industry. It's designed to tear the family apart. It is designed purposely, as Imam Muhammad stated earlier, it's by design. It is designed to encourage disrespect between men and women. It is designed to have our men think nothing about abusing and pimping, and somebody mentioned sex trafficking earlier in the program. It's designed for that. And what happens to the men, especially many of our young men, they end up incarcerated. Many of our young men, most of our young African-American men will be incarcerated at least once in their lifetime. And most of them will be doing big time. We make up 6% of the population, but we make up 60% of the incarcerated individuals in our penal institutions. So the lyrics in this music that mm-hmm. encourages us to disrespect authority, namely our parents, to disrespect the value of education. This is why you have over 50% of our young people dropping out of school, high school, last but not least, this is why you have such a high incarceration rate. We had people, some of these young artists, I believe at one time, saying that, you know, you ain't a man unless you've been to jail, you know, something like that, you know. And I think in some of the Tupac Shakur music, he was saying that, you know, my family is the gang that I hang with, you know. So they promote this kind of negative thinking. They promote all kinds of thinking that is destructive to the African-American community. So this is the impression. This is the influence. This is why the lyrics and the music is dangerous, because it promotes not only negative thinking, but extreme negative thinking that has a highly negative impact on the African American community. There's a report from pediatrics. Pediatrics is the study of children and the diseases that affect children. And this particular report is the official journal of the American Pediatric Academy. And it talks about early adolescence music and how this music plants a seed in the minds of our young people. And as our young people mature and get older, they begin to act out the messages that they get from this music. And I'm almost done. I'll make this very quick. The method that they use was a 4-year longitudinal study. This study started in 2013, and they had long and short observations of the various variables that impacted the individuals included in the study. And the results of the study showed early fans of different types of music show elevated and minor delinquencies. Some of it was concurrently and some of it was longitudinal. Now, what that is saying is that some of the acts of the that came out, the negative acts that came out of this study, they happened immediately, and then some happened with a delayed reaction. And the conclusion was early music preferences emerge as more powerful indicators of later delinquencies as opposed to early delinquencies. Music played a major role in the socialization of children and adolescents. Music is present everywhere. You get it, you download it, you get it off the internet, you have your earphone, Pandora, and a lot of these other online, Spotify, et cetera. And these children, they listen to this music, and the parents don't know what the children are listening to. So I don't want to go on too long, Brother Lamb, so I'll stop right there.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask a question. We have, it's easy to identify the what we all can see. We can see the results. The title, the main topic today is Dangerous Lyrics Are Killing the African-American Community. How did we get to that point? What happened along the way? When I came along, I think the song that I heard that had the most dangerous lyrics was Junior Walker and the All-Star Shotgun, Shooting 41 Now, back in the 60s. We went through a time period, even rap music in the beginning was very positive. But before the lyrics began killing our community, what happened? And I'm tying that in with the verse you read from the Quran. If you do good, you done good for yourselves. If you done evil, you done evil against yourselves. What happened? That's the question I'm asking. What happened within our African American community that allowed us to get to this point? I'd like to ask Brother Emmanuel Abdelmelek to respond first. How did we get to this point?
Yes, sir. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I believe when we use the term by design, what the industry, the record industry did is set up these artists as our heroes so that these artists would be the prophets to our people that would bring profits to their bank account. Profits such as a one who brings a word, and profits which is monetary, which are congruent.
F-I-T.
So what has happened is when you look at Tupac Shakur, who was a very talented young brother, and you idolize him as a leader, you know, like you know, Sister Amatala said, you know, and again, you know, words make people. Well, who's the hottest act? Tupac. Well, who's the hot? Little Nas. Who's the hottest? When you keep presenting and packaging decadence to our community, it's like, don't listen to the imam and the pastors and the positive parents. Listen to those who wear their pants sagging down with a $700 belt on and, you know, going nowhere, and the ones that are most disrespectful to each other. See, this is all about this. This is the hip hop, another term of where the phrase came from. Well, this is hip means this is in, and it's hop meaning we gonna keep it moving. We're going to jump to this one and then on to the next one, meaning as many women as we can see. I'm using the term, you know, nicely here. We're going to see those women. But guess what? We're not interested in marrying those women. We're not interested in rearing and raising those children. We're not interested in family. We're interested in drinking the Hennessy, smoking the weed. We're interested in doing everything that's going to tear our community down. And this is the design of the record industry that has plagued our people. And it didn't start with rap music. It started back with R&B. And then it eased.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah.
So I'll close on that, ma'am. Hope that answered the question.
No, you go ahead and finish, because you made me laugh because we had a Hennessy and reefer back in the 30s, 1940s, and the 50s, but it wasn't socially promoted as it is now. Now it's socially promoted. But I want to bring it home to our community, to our African-American leadership, beginning with the parents and also our communities, our imams, our priests or ministers, or if there's a rabbi, we can say African-American rabbi too. The leadership allows something in. That's my thoughts. But I do have some callers on hold too. I want to get to them too. But I'd like to hear from my sister, or even Ayman. How did we get to this point? You know, we were talking about where we're at, but how did we get here? Because sometimes you don't know how you got to where you're going, you can't get back home.
Yes, sir. Right. You know, I'll go ahead and make a brief statement in my slide. You can check it up right after me.
Sure.
First of all, we know that in the minute they came in and destroyed our God consciousness, Taqwa. Going back, and like you say, it was a gradual thing. They've been planning this. It's been designed for years, okay? Because my mother used to play them 78, you know, records. I can go back then. You remember some of them, you know. But when they take that article that came out, Imam Muhammad highlighted for us in the 60s, that said, God is dead. God is dead. Now, they know goddamn well they can't kill God, okay? But what they were saying was that we have taken the taqwa out of the people. We have taken it out of their consciousness. No longer are these people conscious of God. Now, once we kill that and knock that down, now we can come in with anything we want. to influence them and take them and economically exploit them in any way we can. That's my take on it. You know, and like I said again, for the African-American community, when they came out with the song by the Ozzy Brothers, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. When that song came out, and we start doing individual stuff, individual things, you know, everybody's for themselves, and you, I got mine, you get yours. Selfishness came in, and man, there it was. That was the beginning of a crazy way of thinking and a crazy way of life. So that's what I think. I think when they destroyed the taqwa, took the God consciousness out. Like you say, they took those people at the choir in the church. They got them into the studio. They, you know, they took them out of the church. They looked at them and said, well, this is big money here. We can make money with this. And they took them out to church and had them sing rhythm and blues. That's it. At first, it, you know, the church was against it. That's devil music. Devil music. And they heard them and shut them up. Okay.
That's
what I want to say.
Brother ma'am, let me just add one more caveat with.
To answer the question, so how did we get here? I agree with you, ma'am. I mean, in terms of taking the God consciousness out of the people, lowering our moral standard. But at the flip side, I want to say there are some positives. Shaitan works with this way. He'll give you just a little tiny bit of the truth to attract you. So we can point to positive rappers, too, and lyrics that they have that are not killing us. They're uplifting us. Part of our program, we want to raise the consciousness of the people of the danger of those negative lyrics. And we, at the same time, we want to, in the future, call together those artists who are putting out positive materials and try and develop the platform that's going to give them a broader audience, make them popular, make them the ones that the little babies can sing their raps, you know, and know that what the meaning of the rap is. So I'm not downing rap music, hip-hop music, whatever. The ones that promote the lyrics that only benefit that artist financially, but kill the community morally, spiritually, culturally. For example, there's familiar with all these rap artists, okay? But there's someone called Van Cooper, and I guess his album was Mind Your Business. Now he said, next time you see a brother down, stop and pick him up, because you might be the next one stuck. So that's something that is promoting unity and a positive message. So we applaud that.
So you're not saying that is. Let me just say real quick, you're not saying that it's not the genre, it's the lyrics. The main focus of your group, it could be country and western, as far as they're concerned. It is the lyrics that you are concerned with.
Yes, it could be blues. Look at some of the lyrics in the blues song that talk about cheating and talk about infidelity, that talk about if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. We know that. What about me and Mrs. Jones? You know, those things are promoting fornication, you know, unfaithfulness and all of that. So it's not necessarily the genre. Many, many talented young brothers and sisters, too. What about Rhapsody? She's a rapper. She has some positive things to say. Queen Latifah in her day, sometimes she had some positive lyrics. So we just want to encourage the good. We want to say don't promote what is bad or what has a negative effect on our life. Promote the good. DMX, even though he has had some really filthy language in some of his raps, and I've heard some people say, well, that's the way we talk in the community. But you don't have to talk that way in the community. And then you have to also consider, a good leader thinks about the weakest link in the chain. That little 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, you don't want them to hear all that filthy language. But one good thing that he said that we can take a good
result from. He said, never become so involved with something that it blinds you. Never forget where you're from. Someone will remind you. So that's part of it.
Right.
So
thank you.
People, they have the talent and the skill, but it's being used in the wrong direction. They're using a hammer
right.
to put a screw
yes.
In the wall. So that's all I
yes,
have
to ma'am. Well, yeah, thank you. And I do have two callers. I had three. I lost one because they've been on hold for so long. If I can, let me get my callers in here quickly, and then we'll come back with the email, Yahya Shabazz. Okay? We go to
yes,
our
yes,
first
sir.
Caller. It's a caller. Okay, call from 706. It's calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please, and your brief comment or question, please?
Yes, sir. Asim Michael, it's Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And I'll start off real fast if I can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in our creation that He gave Adam intellect first because He named everything, and then He let Satan know that what our most motivation is what He blew into our hearts. Paraphrases. So the
mm-hmm.
hip hop of the day. It's just the final product of that back in the Olympics, back in the Pharaoh days. They knew that those of us from the African continent, life was based upon the heartbeat. And even back then, our heartbeat was paraphrasing the animal life that was what we was learning from the animal life, which was where the reproduction, the hip, and the hopping, the sexual overtone came in. So they always knew that Shaitan was giving them the scheme of how to control us for thousands of years is by getting to what Allah has put in their heart. And we know in the final revelation what we're dealing with right now, we all now know that Allah said, I put in your heart the Quran. So Shaitan said, if I can control the heartbeat and keep them on the level of animal appetites and desires, whenever they get too intellectual, and start understanding what their heart is guiding them to, the Quran that's in it, then they'll come out with some kind of dance, some kind of making us feel like we're accepted if we
mm-hmm.
dance for them, if we show our heartbeat, you know. And it just, we have to remember that this is the final revelation. So what you're seeing now being done to us as a people and all the world, Shaitan is trying to bust our hearts. Blacken our hearts, you know, put a beat in our heart that will not want to rest and have peace. You know, that's why they be so exhausted.
Yes, sir. Well,
after
then,
they put on their performance,
well,
they have carried their heart to the
limit. But
yes, sir, go ahead.
Even
I mean.
there has to be some accountability. We have clear revelation that give us the warning. It tells us the Quran. It gives us clear warning. And now maybe, and we know the majority of African Americans may not be familiar with the Quran, but even with the Bible, there's enough warning. Where do the self-accountability
okay,
come
let me,
into play?
Let me answer that for you right quick, inshallah. That's why we are learning the hard way, that the best thing that we can do for ourselves and our kids is to raise them as close with Allah's permission to learning and understanding who Allah is and what their life is if we want to help the children of the world. When they see how we love peace, how our children love peace, love clean things, clean water, you know, speaking with such love and compassion from their heart, they will naturally, inshallah, if their parents wants to adapt that in their family life. You know, that's why you see a lot of the kids of different, maybe they French or whatever like that. When they get around Muslims who are disciplined and being the model that
okay.
Allah has created us
yes,
to display, we'll bring peace to the world just by our deeds and actions if we control and keep and remember that the Quran is in our heart.
Yes, sir.
We're
okay.
not interested
okay.
in being exploited
right. well,
or
let me take it because, yeah, well, I do have another caller. And I guess you have some more things that they want to share. Anything else that you need to share before we move on?
Are you talking to us, Brother Bam?
No, well, yeah, anything you don't want to share, but I need to get to the next caller as well.
Yeah,
yes,
all right.
Brother, was there anything else you needed to share before we go to our next caller?
Okay. Are you talking
all
to me?
Right. Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't know what you're talking about. Well, that's all I'm just trying to stress. That's why it's very important that we establish our schools and everything like that. The best thing that we can do for the world
is
do like Allah has already told us. Save our own from first. Establish a model community of Deen al-Islam. And then the schemes of the shaitan will not be able to penetrate the refuge that Allah gives for the human family to come to if they want.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. And I like that response very much so. We go to our next caller. But before I do that, do any of our guests have any replies to our caller?
I just want to say just one thing real quickly, Brother Ma'am. And I am so grateful for my brother because he's like right on point. Let us realize the other side of this rap music, the dangerous lyrics that we have. I appreciate Sister Amatullah when she named the the blues and many of the other genres, you know, that also, you know, introduce negative influences. The corporate, we have to understand that these people, these entertainers, these radio stations, they are supported by big business. You know, it's a business move, just like slavery and bringing slaves over here to raise and pick cotton and to do all that. It was a business move. It wasn't, the people didn't have the human concern in mind. And it's the same way today. We are big corporate powers that support, and some of them are African Americans too. And they support these radio stations. They support these artists that make these dangerous, sing these dangerous lyrics and so forth. So we have to begin to appeal to the corporate structure and let them know and call them out for their support of the destruction that they're helping to create in the African-American community, as well as call out the radio stations that say that they serve the African-American community. We have to let them know and make them see the dangers that they're promoting and that they're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, I got two calls on hold. Should I go to my callers? Anybody have any comments?
No. Go to the callers.
Caller.
Go to the callers.
Okay. Now, this caller here is from 773. Thanks for calling World Explained People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bashir Assad from Illinois.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate all of Wa alaikum as-salam, Imam Ayman, Sister Amatullah, Imam Yahya Abdul Malik. Some of y'all know me, and I have the same concerns that you have and try to make a contribution. As I've been listening to you, all of those concerns are very important. But I'd like to make this observation, let's say from physics, and that two objects cannot occupy the same place at the same time. And the Imam Waji Muhammad, he told us to remake the world. I know there was a comment, we do not control the technology when we had this problem with the technology. So my observation is that those concerns that we're addressing today, we have to have strategies to change those things. So if we're going to change the rap music, what are we going to change it to? if they're hearing lyrics that are damaging to them, where are the lyrics going to come from that are going to be healthy? Now, Imam Wardi Muhammad, early in his mission, started making us realize that we, and this is part of culture, that we have to change culture. I can remember him mentioning about one of our artists, and he mentioned that artist. He said, if we were to support this artist, we would make, it was a sister at the time, we would make her as big as any other of these artists that are out here. What I'm stressing is that we have to start doing things. I talk everybody, and the man say talk is just out in the air. It don't mean nothing. And we talk about the shaitan does this and the shaitan does this and the business people do this and the business people do that. So we have to start doing those things in those areas that will cause change. So we have to have strategies and action plans. Just one more comment. In our past, we had the Muslim Journal. It was very instrumental. It was a means of communication. Communications has changed. It's not the same today. But we've got to start communicating to a larger body of people. In our small area, today on this program, we're probably reaching a small amount of people. We're not reaching the broader people that we need to reach. I'll end with that. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Can I respond?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I would invite him to join us, our meeting on Saturday, 28th, because we had an initial conversation. Faith-based leaders, and we broaden it out to community organizers and general people in the community. Imam Mikhail has advertised this meeting coming up this coming Saturday on the 28th from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we'll be talking about next steps from our initial conversation.
Now, that's a.m.?
11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, so that's 2 p.m. on the East Coast.
So, yes, that would be...
That would be 2 p.m. on the West Coast to 4 p.m. on the East Coast.
So, the point that I want
for those in Chicago, 1 o'clock. Yes, ma'am. Now, but before you make the point, I want you to put another plug in so people can write down. And I think, as an American, he gave the phone number, I think, before. If we can repeat that phone number.
No, it's a Zoom.
And the passcode.
Passcode.
Oh, it's a Zoom. Okay.
Zoom. It's going to be a Zoom call. So you're not, we want people to understand we are, inshallah, God willing, we are hoping to generate the spark for a movement change. The brother asked the question, where these lyrics going to come from? There are some established artists already who have some good lyrics, pop, rap, also in popular music, what is called pop, soul music, R&B. So there is, the good thing is that we have talented people in our community. What our strategy is to talk about how do we develop the platform that who are producing the cultural inspiration that will uplift us. That's what we want. Focus on how we can present venues, how we can use technology, how can we can have the streaming platform, whatever, that the positive artists can utilize to get their music to spread it across the world. And that's possible to do.
Yes,
there are Muslim rap groups. There are Muslim entertainers that our community has been aware of for years. So we don't have any we're not anemic in the area of talent. What we have to do is develop the means to get the talent out into the general population. And we have people in our community who have been successful in the entertainment industry. People are familiar with Kenny Gamble, Luke Bryan, and Philly International out of Philadelphia. In the rap community, people with the rap, with the, you know, they don't. So we just have to guard those people who have the expertise and get them with the talent to get out to the general public.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. Brother Emmanuel Demelli, can you once again give us the number? You know, you gave us a Zoom phone number and a passcode was, because the Zoom would be also online. I mean, for with the camera too, right? Or would it be by phone only?
Well, you know what? There is a camera access on the Zoom, but I don't know how many people will actually, if they use the Zoom meeting ID, they can definitely listen in and chime in and also speak if need be, Brother Imam. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
So once again, that Zoom ID number is 346-388-7144. Mm-hmm. Once again, 346-388-7144. And the passcode is going to be 529-228. Once again, passcode 529-228. Did you get that, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, we have it. And we may say it again before we go off. But if they wanted to join the actual Zoom with their camera, I think I have the information on my Facebook site, if you can get that out as well, because that's very important, because people can call and be more involved with the conversation. And let me read this other verse from the Quran. I think this is chapter,
chapter 475.
Thank you. Yeah, chapter 4, verse 75. And just reading the English portion of it, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It says, "And why should you not fight in the cause of Allah?" Right? Why my la kun la to katakuna fi sabilillah? Why should you not fight in the cause of Allah? This is Allah speaking to us in the Quran. And in speaking, it's telling us that we should be ready to go to war. And it's not necessarily, you fight the war as the war is brought to you. If they bring to you a physical war, you have to respond in a physical way. If they bring in a war to us, if you say the killing, the lyrics are killing the African-American community. And this verse here says, fight in the cause of Allah. Then we have fight, they say, bring the fight to us so that we can save the life of the African-American community. So Allah says, and why should you not fight in the cause of Allah for those who, being weak or ill-treated and oppressed, men, women, and children, whose cry is, our Lord, rescue us from this town, those people whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from the one who will protect, and raise for us from the one who will help. And so for reading that, somebody may say, well, I'm not the one. I think we all are the one. I don't think it's one particular person, always. If we see our families being hurt and damaged, our communities being killed by these lyrics, we all are obligated to step up, speak up, and do something right. Someone is making a lot of noise in the background. Somebody got their phone on speak or something. They're doing something in the background. And they should put their phone on mute. if they are not speaking right now. Thank you.
Brother, ma'am, may I say something?
Yes, sir.
Right here?
Yes, sir.
You know, we may remember Imam Muhammad taught us that, you know, in his teachings, we may remember when he referred to the battle in the sky. You know, when I used to hear that, and those are Christian biblical language, scripture, in Revelation, I believe. But when I used to hear about the battle in the sky, Brother Ma'am, Mikhail, my mind immediately went to airplanes, you know, and Russia mm-hmm. and the United States were the two superpowers in the world. So I'm thinking that there's going to be a scrimmage between Russia and America, you know what I'm saying? You know, but I come to understand through, as a student of the Imam, that the sky is when it says sky, it's symbolic of the highest part of our human makeup, which is our mind. And so what mm-hmm. we're talking about now is how dangerous lyrics impact the minds of our young people, and not only our young people, our adult people as well. So this is not a battle, you know, like we hear a lot of brothers talking about, we're going to get guns and we're going to go out and fight. No, this is a battle for the minds of the people. This mm-hmm. is what this battle is for. This is what's being destroyed. What's being destroyed mm-hmm. is the minds of our young people, and it's decimating the future of the black community. We see, as we said earlier, we see many of our youth going to prison, and we see many of our youth disrespecting our women, and our women disrespecting themselves. You know, and so we have to understand that this is intellectual warfare, not physical warfare,
mm-hmm.
and we have to become aware of how we are to fight this battle. So we have to fight it in the way of Allah. And the first revelation that Allah made to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Iqra. He appealed to his intellect. He appealed to his mind. So that means that we have to address these issues from an intelligent standpoint, so that we can make sense to the people that we are addressing. When Rick James came out with Super Freak back in the day, something should have been said, but we were silent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was said. You know, this
That's
is in response
is.
To the question you asked, how did this happen? What happened? How did it come? You know, we allowed it to happen because the entertainment industry was appealing to our lower desires, our sexual desires, and we liked it. We liked what we heard. You know, the group came out with this song, Freak Out. You know, so we felt, you know, that this was. We could do what we want to do, like Imam Ayman say, it's your thing, do what you want to do, you know. So we didn't say anything, and so the attack got even worse on us, and we are at the stage where we are now.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'd like to ask a question to Brother Imam Abdul Malik. If it's okay, this is a fight. And I have to applaud the entire group of like-minded people for social justice. You all have recognized this as being a fight. So I want to begin with Muhammad Ibn Malik. How are we to engage this battle? I mean, beyond the Zoom, you all said it already, Sister Ella. Mekhar already said the Zoom is the next step. How are we going to engage this fight? What's going to be the strategy? Because we are at war, Brother Imam.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Well, first and foremost, in war, there's always a strategic plan. Zoom is the gathering place. These calls and radio shows is the gathering place. Then we organize, community organize, all leaders, you know, who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get boots on the ground. You know, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jew, or you don't know what you are, you just want to do something positive, you know, join us. So the meeting place, of course, will be on that Zoom call. It is the connecting point, you know, and at war you have assault, support, and security. So we are that assault team, and now we need your support, and then we're going to provide the security. Well, what do we mean by security? We have to secure the minds of the people, as Imam Yahya has said, because we're in a battle for the minds and the hearts of the people, and not just the youth. I mean, it's a dangerous thing when you see a 50-year-old man with his pants hanging down, with his music so loud that he can barely hear the baby crying in the back seat because she didn't drop the bottle, so to speak. So we have to start here at the gathering place, you know, on these calls, on these platforms, utilizing the technology, and then organizing in our own local communities, you know, and then keeping data and sharing data and supporting each other in our efforts, you know, to continue in the process. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and continue to guide us. And we must, we must continue to use the logic, the language that came from our leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. He was blessed with a very, very special gift in his mind. So we have to keep him in the forefront as we move forward and use the platform and messages of concern. So with that being said, assalamu alaikum.
Well, before the next person responds to that question, if you look at the Prophet Muhammad, he walked into a very backwards pagan society. And within 27 years, he changed the whole region, not just Mecca and Medina, but the whole region. And what he has to face, so just talking further on this fight, you know, I see us in the fight, you know, how are we going to fight? Sister Mentola, what would you say about the fight?
I say that we should be respectful of people, and we should approach them with kindness. That's the example of our Prophet Muhammad. And don't have them to feel that we're downing them, but that we're coming to the members of our community from a sense of love and compassion. And to for them to realize that we are not fighting them, the person, fighting the ideas, and we're fighting the forces behind the promotion of this negative kind of cultural expression. So to rely on our strengths, you know, the positive things that we have in our cultural expression, and expand and grow upon them, and to remain steadfast, because it's not going to be something that happens overnight.
Well, I'm hearing you saying, but I'm hearing from you. I'm hearing education versus miseducation.
Yes.
Meaning that
negative
lyrics. Go ahead.
No, it is a whole miseducation. You know, we know that the miseducation of the Negro that Carter G. Woodson put out is still applicable today.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we may not use the terminology Negro, but
right, but I'm just saying, but to fight against miseducation, you have to have proper education, and but you begin with saying, be kind to the people. Don't go accusing. I guess that they are victims, and don't realize that they're victims is what I'm hearing. So how do you approach someone like that? Like what you said, approach them with kindness, not so much accusing them per se, even though they are part of it, but they're still victims. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, you might, okay. you look at, I'll use DMX for an example, okay? He was someone who was victimized by the evils of the society, okay? But there was a great contradiction in him. He, you know, when he passed, I did some research on him. You know, he would always invoke God at his concerts that he gave, his live performances. He would do a prayer. DMX, Earl DMX Simmons.
Oh, DMX. Oh, yes.
DMX, mm-hmm. Yes. So he was in a contradiction, mm-hmm. but from his heart, he recognized his own frailties and weakness, and he recognized mm-hmm. that the creator was a source of his strength. So in his own way, he
yes, ma'am.
Expressed it based upon what he experienced in his life to his audience. So
right.
perhaps in his audience, he brought
yes,
someone
ma'am.
Who didn't believe in God to God, okay? So I'm not
yes,
downing
ma'am.
Him. I'm downing
mm-hmm.
the negative circumstances that
mm-hmm.
Created that weakness in him. You know, the teenage mother who was unable
mm-hmm.
to really be a mother, you know,
yes.
the poor economic
yes.
conditions.
Those I watched that last night.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you, I have a couple of callers to be very patient. I want to get to, go ahead. I'm
can
sorry.
I just, before you do that, you asked earlier about the phone numbers. So if someone does not have internet connection, they can call in. If they live in San Jose, it's the San Jose area, 669-900-6833. Tacoma, Washington area, 253-215-8782. The Houston area, 346-248-7799. Washington, D.C. and the East Coast, 301-715-8592. Chicago area, 312-626-6799. New York area,
mm-hmm.
New York City area, 929-205-6099. So
mm-hmm.
those are the phone numbers
but,
to use. And use the same user ID, same passcode.
Okay. The meeting ID that
the same ID are associated with all of those numbers?
Yes. Once you call in, it'll ask you for the meeting ID, which is 346-388-7144. And then it'll ask you for a passcode. And that number is 529-228.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, if I may, let me go to the next caller here. You've been super patient. Caller from the 910 area code. Caller from 910, can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mustafa or Mustafa. Calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, I'm going to be very... inshallah, brief and to the point. from listening to the program when I did come on, the first thing that I looked at in acknowledging, we have compound problems. We don't, as a people, we just don't have one. Our problems are compound, and we are
mm-hmm.
in a cultural war. And one of the gentlemen said, and I think this was the first lecture. Title that we got from the man was Remake the World when he went to Philadelphia. And a lot of people be thinking about the outer world, but actually he was speaking, and as we know now, he was speaking to our own internal life, our own internal world. And you just mentioned
mm-hmm.
that we want to move from miseducation to the proper education. And the strategy is, you know, when the military goes in, I stay in a military town, one of the largest military bases in the United States, which they are looking to change the name because it's tied to a Confederate general, Fort Bragg, North
mm-hmm.
Carolina. home of the 82nd Airborne Special Forces, Delta Forces, and those things that I will not mention at this time. But, you know, we have the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, National Guard, Coast Guard, and now we have the Space Force. And all of them have a particular function. And I just want to read very quickly from the book. And two terms I want to introduce very quickly, and I will be concluded.
What's the name of the book?
I'm giving the first title. This is by D. Ma'am. The Schemes of Satan, the Enemy of Man, Work to Defeat the God Conscious. He speaks here, the worst form of enslavement is the enslavement of the soul. The worst form of enslavement is the enslavement of the soul. In the Quran, Allah says that he is the one mentioned in the Torah, the old books of the Bible, as one coming to purify you and take off your back the heavy yoke that weighed you down and to break every bond of slavery. We think of slavery in the physical sense readily, but the worst form of slavery is not the slavery of the physical body. The worst form of enslavement is the enslavement of your soul. When you don't have your soul free for yourself, your mind and heart can be enslaved by Satan, the enemy of all human beings. He is the enemy of the human family. Allah says of him, fight the schemes of Satan. His plots, deceitful tricks, plan to defeat you in your purposes, in your best life, and in your best hopes for life. Satan is out to defeat you right there, so you will be seen as ridiculous. He loves to make human beings ridiculous. And I'm going to stop there, and I want to introduce a term from another book by the late Napoleon Hill. It's called Outwitting the Devil. Now, this book was just recently published around 2011, but the transcript was written in 1938. And the word I want to introduce, he says, describe all the ways in which you induce people to drift. This is the word I want to introduce, is drift and drifters. Define the word and tell us exactly what you mean by it. I can best define the word drift by saying that people who think for themselves never drift, while those who do little or no thinking for themselves are drifters. A drifter is one who permits himself or herself to be influenced and controlled by circumstances outside of his or her own mind. A drifter is one who permits himself or herself to be influenced and controlled by circumstances outside of his or her own mind. He or she would rather let me, speaking of the shaitan, occupy his or her mind and do his or her thinking than go to the trouble of thinking for him or herself. A drifter is one who accepts whatever life throws in his or her way without making a protest or putting up a fight. He or she doesn't know what he wants from life and spends all of his or her time getting just that. A drifter has lots of opinions, but they are not their own. Most of them are supplied by me. And I'll just conclude on that. Thank you very much for allowing me for that expression. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mustafa. Yes, you have a comment. What was just shared by Brother Mister from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
No, I just say I mean.
No
problem. It was right on time.
I mean, that's right.
Thank you.
Napoleon Hill, and it was just recently published in 2011. Was it something about defeating Satan? Did you remember what the title of that book was?
No, I think you said
outwitting the devil.
The devil.
Outwitting the devil?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
By Napoleon Hill.
Actually, the book is edited and annotated by Sharon Latcher. And yeah, it's Napoleon Hill's transcript, which their family did not want to publish because of the information that was in his transcript. It was about 70 years after that it was actually written in 1938, that when his wife transitioned and some of his other family members transitioned, that they came across the transcript and finally decided to publish this book. And I think it was, it says here 2011, when I think they first actually published the book on this particular transcript, which was hidden for about 70 years.
How
yes, sir. Good. I'm waiting the devil. Mm-hmm.
But man, let me just make one last comment. And
wait a minute,
but brother
Shabaka, hold on. Yeah, let her finish her question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sister.
No, I think I got it. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, edited by Sharon Lasher.
L-E-C-H-T-E-R. I'm saying Lasher. It could be another pronunciation. So please excuse me for not knowing.
I think it's Lecter, but okay. Alhamdulillah, I think that's good for the audience. Thank you.
Okay.
You too, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother.
Brother Master Boss?
Yeah, I was just going to say this one last thing. This is a movement. This is not a flash in the pan. This is not just a meeting. This is a movement on the level, or even greater than the level of the civil rights movement of the 60s. This is how we see this battle in the sky that we're involved in right now. So anybody who's listening to this program, and anybody, and we pray that everybody would join in on the call, on the Zoom meeting next weekend, to understand that this is a movement that we are initiating here. And it is necessary if we are going to continue as a community. We don't want to be that community that the prophets Hud and Selah and Shuaib them came to, and the people didn't listen, and when they woke the next morning, they was like ashes, blown away. We see our traditions, we see our contributions that we've made to this society slowly being taken away. So unless we go to work and unless we do something to end this mental curse that we're under, you know, we will be just like the people of Hud and Shuaib and Selah and the rest of them.
I mean, we'll go to our next caller here. That's just our brother from L.A., 213. Brother Muhammad Amin, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Good production, brother. Good program. If I could direct the audience to an internet report or letter that came out a few years ago. It's entitled The Secret Meeting That Changed Rap Music and Distorted Generation. It's called The Secret Meeting Changed. Okay.
Mhm.
Yes, sir.
The Secret
it's
Meeting
that
Changed.
The Secret Meeting, Rap Music, and Destroyed a Generation. And it caused a big stir, on the internet for a little while until the record industry got a hold to it. Essentially, it says that the turning date was 1991 when the record companies who were invested in privately owned prisons, you know, the American Association of Prisons and other groups that owned privately owned prisons, these same record companies was promoting gangster rap. In other words, 1991 was the date that they said, we don't want any other type of rap music. All we want is gangster rap. So if you got whatever you got, you know, keep it and not let this gangster. because, you know, we want to promote prison jingles. In other words, you know, you have Christmas jingles and Easter jingles. Well, they got prison jingles. And the prison jingles are the jingles that encourage criminality, crime and murder and prostitution and drug dealing. That's all they wanted, because they wanted the young people to get into this and go into these privately owned prisons where these record companies got paid twice. They got paid by the music that Snoop Dogg and all them put out,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Dre and all them, NWA, all them put out. And also they was getting money for those prisons, because the more prisoners that you had in these privately owned prisons, the more money you got. So these record companies was invested in both of them. And they put out these prison jingles, you see. And these kids got caught up and still get caught up in these prison
mm-hmm.
jingles. You can hear them rapping all this crime and stuff. So look into this report that was on the Internet called The Secret Meeting That Changed Rap Music and Destroyed a Generation. It was a brother who was at that meeting. No, he wasn't a brother, but a Caucasian. It was you or somebody was at that meeting. And this is what they proposed. The big industry people proposed that we don't want no more, Will Smith. We don't want any more of that kind of, you know what I mean, funny stuff. All we want is gang. All we want is gang.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You know, and
that's all I really
want to say. As she was saying that, I kind of remember that.
The Secret Meeting
yes,
That Changed Rap Music and Destroyed a Generation. And that date was right 1991. They said at that point,
mm-hmm.
we don't want nothing. Don't bring us no tapes. Don't bring us no nothing, not unless it's gangster. And it has something to do with immorality, prostitution, murder, drug dealing, and the kids get a hold of that, and they think it's a badge of honor to go to prison, go to penitentiary. You know, I heard somebody say earlier, you know, that some of them were saying, well, you ain't a man till you go to the penitentiary, and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? This is the type of vibe that they put out, and I would suggest to the listeners, look that up on the Internet. It's still on the Internet, and read it. And inshallah, maybe you could do a show on that later on.
Well, and also, if you get it, and don't just read it, download it and save it in a separate file, because they do totally wipe it off the Internet, you have your own copy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Because I'm trying to open it up now.
You're
and welcome. They didn't allow me. Here it is. Oh, he told me
did
that the page I'm looking for doesn't exist. They may have already taken it down.
I know it took me a while to try and get it to come up, but I did finally.
Yes.
I think is it. It's at www.chicagonow, all one word, .com.
And you got the actual article?
It looks like it is.
Okay, give it to us again.
Also, you could look up.
Wait a minute. Let her finish, please. Okay, where's sister?
www.chicagonow, all one word. .com/BRONZE
Hey, you're going too fast. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm
sorry. You said B what now?
Be like
ChicagoNow.com. Yeah.
ChicagoNow.com / Bronzeville. B like boy. R-O-N V like zebra, E V like Victor, ILLE -urban-green. Try that, see if it'll bring it up to you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay,
I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna have to email that to me. I was typing with one hand.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're right. Make sure I eat.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum.
Yes, sir.
I just think if you just, you know, these people are so arrogant and they're so confident that they got the whole world hoodwinked that it's right there. If you just put it in into a search Google, like a Google search, the secret meeting, just put the secret meeting, it should pop up. The secret meeting that changed rap music.
I did,
but you just put in a secret meeting.
We did, but it wouldn't come up.
I'm pretty sure then.
But
it wouldn't come up. Okay.
It wouldn't come
well,
up.
Well, it's another website by this brother named Davey D. This is when I first discovered years ago. Davey D. It's called Hip Hop is Red, like R-E-A-D, R-E-A-D. Hip Hop is Red. And he had it. It first came to his site. It first came to his site. His name is Davey D. And they discussed
okay.
it, but the record companies are so arrogant and they're so confident that they got the world, you know, under in a groove, as G-Mam said, you know, what, you know, under a groove. So, and also I just like to say,
right.
like this fight goes back a long time. Imam Muhammad talked about the use of rock and roll to suppress the intellect when, you know, he was trying to say that, you know, or he was saying that they use music to battle against the good movements from way back, going back to Garvey, going back way back, you know, when music mm-hmm. and like radio shows first came out in like 1919, they used the blues. They went and got a whole lot of blues singing, singing a lot of negative blues in order to fight Du Bois and fight Marcus Garvey and to fight all the freedom fighters of that day. You know, and they always kept up with ways to use that music to fight against, you know, righteous movements, good movements. You see what I mean? And,
yes,
and they usually, you know, they go back and they get this, you know, these negative, you know, like Imam Muhammad told us, don't play the blues at these conventions. Brothers, you know, brothers used to get up there, you know, at midnight or so playing the blues. Imam said, don't play the blues at these conventions. Don't do that. That's fighting against us. And stop singing the blues. Stop playing the blues. You see what I mean? So the imam been mm-hmm. in this fight, and he was the one who taught us how they went into the churches and got that spirit in the churches and everything, and then put it in the nightclub. And Aretha, mm-hmm. Ray Charles, all of them came out of the church, and that you know piano riff that they all do, and went into the studios and made all this, and changed the lyrics. Instead of saying, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, baby. And if you leave me, baby, I'll go crazy and all that old kind of stuff. I'll go nuts if
yes,
you leave me. So the imam is the one who educated us going way back, you know, alhamdulillah. So,
yes, sir. Well, thank you.
In our DNA, all we need to do is put it up.
Yes, sir. Well, with that, I say thank you. And I just posted it on my Facebook page. So I got the link.
Yes,
it finally went through. I just put it on my Facebook page, and I'm saving it. I'm telling you, just save it somewhere else. Save it onto a thumb drive. Save it in the file, because the things will become hard to find, as you see already. We have passed our time. I did put in for more time. We passed our time. I do want to, first of all, thank Brother Mamba Amin for his contribution. But I wanted to let our panel today, each person take a couple of minutes and give us a concluding thought, please. And then we'll wrap this show up, inshallah. So, Brother Imam, Yahya Shabazz, do you have any closing statements, please?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. Thank you so much. Again, I'm just going to repeat what I just said. We have to see this as a movement. This is not just an idea. This is not just a group of people coming together because we're mad at somebody. You know, we are mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we are, as John Lewis said, we are in good trouble. We want to do good trouble. You know,
we are mad and not be angry. You know.
You
can't be mad and not be angry.
Yeah. Well, you know, Allah gave us that human makeup. Anger is part. You just have to be in control of it. You just can't be out of control.
Yes,
you know, you can't, if you don't get angry at some of this stuff happening in this society, something is wrong. So we want to, but it, you have to just get angry enough to want to do something about it and make intelligent moves to bring society back into the obedience of Allah. And that's what we are about, you know. And it's not,
yes, sir.
I said, this is the movement. It's a movement on the level of the civil rights movement, or even beyond the level of the civil rights movement, because we're trying to save our future generation. So that's all I wanted to say, buddy, man. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here today.
Well, thank you for having and bringing this to us. I thank you, man, I'm for bringing it to my attention, because this is much needed. And we almost had a very important person to join us, but he had a conflict. His name is Wardeen. He's the name he go by. He's the founder of DMX. And there's one thing I wanted to ask you all, but we didn't. Time ran out on us. How many of these artists who are singing these negative songs got Muslim names, and few of them were actually raised Muslim? They were actually raised Muslim, bean pie, the whole thing. They know Quran verses by heart because they were raised as Muslim. They got caught up in the world, as you say. But from talking with Brother Wahdeen, he himself and other Muslims, they recognize their shortcomings and they want to correct it, and they want to come back to the masjid. I mean, they're coming back, but they want to come back and maybe work with their industry to correct some of their past shortcomings. I'll say it that way. But maybe he can join you all next week on you all's panel discussion. We were going to try and work on that too. Because he was one of the biggest.
Company,
his company was one of the biggest on the East, and definitely on the East Coast in the nation. I mean, they were even winning awards like the Grammy Awards as well in hip hop. That's how big he was. But he's born and raised Nation of Islam, Fair Muhammad Schools, and all that. Another one is from our community. Born and raised in our community, T-Pain, the T stands for Tallahassee, but his name is Faheem. His name is Faheem Nigel. I know his father very well. So we get to look at what happened, what went wrong, you know. So, and his father, you know, is a good Muslim, but, you know, things happen, so. But then they get to a certain age and they realize the beauty they had in Islam and they want to come back home. So that's a whole different show. Maybe we can do part two next week. Yeah, I don't know. I'll follow up on you all's Zoom for next week. I don't know. But Brother Imam Abdul Malik, what would be your closing comments, please?
Well, man, it's definitely been an honor and a blessing, Brother Imam. For us to be here and just you know, share and care, you know, because we care about the community at large. We care about humanity, you know, and we just want to make sure that we utilize each and every opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with to connect the dots, so to speak, so we can move progressively, you know, and in progression of you know, saving in our community, you know, our communities at large, you know. So it's our responsibility, you know. So
mm-hmm.
that I and one of us on the phone would feel like Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Aleyh, came to us and we forgot everything that he taught us over the years. So that would be a great detriment to each and every one of us. So we must take what we've learned and come together, because
mm-hmm.
none of us have it all, but coming together collectively, we've got a chance, keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the focus, and keeping the Quran and Sunnah
yes,
as our foundation. With that being said, thank you again for allowing us to be here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Very well said. Sister Amatullah, your closing comments, please.
Alhamdulillah. I would, again, encourage as many people as can to join our Zoom. If you have questions or you want to stay in contact with us, you can send an email to info, I-N-F-O, at L, M, like Mary, P, 4, the number 4, social justice, all together, 2 words, social justice, lowercase, dot O-R-G. So that's info at L-M-4, social justice, 1 word, dot O-R-G.
Yes, ma'am. So the LMP stands for like-minded people, right? Info at LMP.
The number
for social justice.
All one dot O-R-G. And God willing, get back. I want to thank you, Imam Mikhail, and your radio audience. And if you can't attend Zoom, tell your children, your grandchildren, who might be teenagers or who might be artists themselves, because we're looking in the future to have a symposium with artists and creative content providers, and to have some type of symposium, find out what they need, how we can help them to promote their creative work, and then we hope within the year, probably a year out, to produce a document that will let us evaluate and look at how successful our first year of activity and action has been.
I have a question. Is this next Saturday or next Sunday?
Next Saturday, 28th, August 28th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right, well, we should be 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Central. Okay, thank you. But Imam Lyman, anything you want to say, share, if you close out?
Yes, alhamdulillah. First of all, I'd like to thank you again for, hosting this wonderful show with our group, like-minded people for social justice and the recognition of one humanity. And I'm praying to Allah and making dua that we will be a catalyst, you see, to really spark, like Imam Yahya said, this movement. And yes, we may be small now, but inshallah, as we grow, we pray that we will attract like-minded people to this issue and this problem, because we're talking about it now, but... and like Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik said, the Zoom meeting and the show here is a call for us to come together. And the show that we have on Saturday, or the meeting we have on Saturday, I think it's the meeting. What's the name of the meeting Saturday? It's title of it.
Dangerous Lyrics Are Destroying Our Communities, a discussion, part 2.
Part 2. Yes, so we got to come up with solutions as much as we can and come together on these things. So, yes, I pray Allah that we will be an inspiration to the people for us to really get going with this and then bring it to the consciousness of our society.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget what Imam Muhammad told us, too, that Al-Islam is the alternative culture for America. Al-Islam is the alternative culture for America.
I mean. And let me just say, lastly, I'd just like to encourage this, if you can. Talk to our Muslim youth who are in college. Maybe those who are in psychology, studying psychology and or studying communications, or just health in general. And see, can they come up and give you all some data? People, a lot of times people, they are driven by data, numbers, and collect data that will verify what you are saying. So when you go to people, professionals, you can show a line of increase in prisons or increase in murder or increase in pregnancies along with this negative lyrics. Because people, they tend to, some people for some reason, they would give you just money sometime if you can show them scientifically, meaning with data. If your conversation is data-driven, it tends to have of more potent and further reach to getting people. And that would also give you some membership from young people because they now have a role within the group to find data to support this. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to close out with that. And most times I play my theme song when I go out, but for some reason, I'm going to change it today. I'm going to play a song by the Shy Lights from Chicago.
Come on with the Shy Lights, brother.
The song, and the song is titled, There Will Never Be Any Peace Until When?
God is at the table.
Come on, help me out. Until God is sitting at the conference table.
Sitting at the table.
Gotta get that taco back. Gotta get that taco. Get that taco back to the conference table.
That's it.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all doing great work. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step or give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start working back from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Thank you. Five times a day, and that's